Dots. I'm Dr. Latif, and I'm the host of the Money Fit MD podcast. This is where we help badass women physicians just like you learn simple and effective tools to build wealth from the inside out. That way, we can create wealth and bigger impact without all the burnout. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, before today's episode, I want to let you know that this is part of the Recession IRX series that I did, where I interviewed humans that are doing amazing things and sharing how they are prepping themselves for the recession. Here is the deal. This is a gift of love, and I have three asks of you. One, listen, enjoy, and take action. Number two, I want you to take this information and share it with those that you like. Share it with your friends, share it with your neighbors, share it with your colleagues. Let's get the word out because we are going to be prepped and not panicked. And then three, I want you to leave us a review and let us know exactly what you love about this episode. This is 100% free gift to you, but I would love it if you do all those three things. Thank you. And don't forget to tag me, MoneyFitMD. Love you guys. Enjoy this episode.
All right, everybody. Hello, hello. I am so, so glad that you guys are here. I have another fabulous interview for you guys with one of the amazing doctors that I've had the honor and pleasure of getting to meet over the last couple of years. I feel like I have such resourceful humans around me that I literally am just like bringing my friends in and showing them to all of you guys, interviewing them so you can hear what they're doing because I want you all to be prepared. So welcome, Dr. Mitra.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Latifa, so much for having me here. I'm excited.
It's been about time. I've been chasing you for months. Oh, no. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I know how busy and, you know, life and physician life and mama life and all that is. But before we get started, can you just tell the audience a little bit about you? Because I know why you're here. I know why they should listen to you. But just share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why I believe that your knowledge is valuable in this life that we're in right now.
Absolutely. So, yes, thank you for your persistence and getting me back here. All right. So my name is Mitra Sadhu, Sangha Mitra Sadhu. I'm a board certified nephrologist. And I run my own solo micro practice in the Southeast. I also write a blog on the basics of personal finance. It's called Physician Finance Basics. I got into writing the blog, not because blog writing is my favorite pastime, but because we learned the hard way that we were getting fleeced. And it took us a while to even realize we were getting fleeced. When I found out some things, I realized that none of this is hard. It's just that we never get an opportunity to learn these things. It is never part of the curriculum. It just never happens when we are meeting our friends. And we can all, as physicians, do extremely well with this stuff if only a little time and resources are given to us about this stuff. So that was my idea with the blog. That's how we're here.
How long have you been doing the blog now?
2019 or so is when I started.
And that was how long after you decided to start learning about personal finance for yourself?
So yeah, I didn't quite decide to learn. It fell into my lap. The year was, if I can tell you that story, that was 2015. My second one was a toddler. I just put her down for a nap. It was a brilliant October day. And don't ask me how I remember that. I think it was just a harbinger of good things to come. I was scrolling Facebook like all tired mamas of toddlers do. I came across on one of the physician subgroups, I came across a website called the White Coat Investor. And it talked about something that piqued my interest. I opened that website and then closed that tab for the next 2 weeks. I devoured every single post on the website and my jaw fell open. I realized at that point we had pretty much done everything wrong in the book that can be done. whole life insurance, you name it. So after those 2 weeks were over, I sat the husband down for a chat, and he realized the seriousness of the gravity of the matter. Not only had we made wrong choices with investments and such, we'd actually been defrauded via some investment accounts, retirement accounts, really. So it was a real fraud. So we took it upon ourselves to fight the giants. It was a big, big company. I gathered, I read up even more, I researched, and we went and spoke to them. They did take us seriously. It was a meeting room, and their legal counsel and stuff were there. So at least we realized we had their ear. Fortunately, it took a few tries, but it ended well. It took us about a year to get out of the mess and get rid of all of those accounts and transfer them to stuff that we wanted to do long term, broadly diversified investments at places like Vanguard and Fidelity and such. So
wow.
After that year was over, it kept coming back to me, like, how can this possibly be fair? And so I sat upon the idea of writing about it for a while before I started, because I knew it was work. But in the end, the little voice wouldn't go away. So I just started.
I love it. And I love that thanks for sharing that, by the way, because that can be a little personal. But also I wanted to say that it's important that you don't know what's happened to your finances if you don't look. And when you're trusting anybody else, and I talk about that all day long on my podcast, we keep trusting anybody else but us, when we don't have to be expert at it, we can just be very good or good enough at it in order to be able to keep an eye as a CEO of our finances. And I love that you eventually did that. And as a result of that, we get to now learn from you, we get to bring you to our audience, and get to share so much goodness with the world. So
100%. And I think it is part of being a physician that we think we need to be perfect at something before embarking upon it. Our training makes us that way, probably. And, the truth of it is like, I don't know, 1% as hard as what we do in our work, 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, every single day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, thanks for sharing that. So now I want you to share with us, and if you talk to different people, some people may say we're already in a recession. Others may say we're not. I don't really care whether I do think we already are, to be honest with you. However, whether you believe we are in, we are going to be. And some people are saying this may be a longer one than in the past. I have zero idea. But what I do know is that I want women physicians to be prepped. So can you share with us some of the practical things that maybe you are already doing, or what you would advise your younger sibling to do in order to make sure that they are prepared for the economic downturn?
Absolutely. So in general, I kind of tune out noise with regard to the everyday market thingy. I believe in having a long-term financial plan, or what they also call an investment policy. And stick to it, because the idea of doing well through that is to stick with it through thick and thin. Otherwise, it kind of falls apart. That said, what we do slightly differently would be shoring up our savings, making sure that we are up to date with all the to-dos, the checklists. The emergency fund is well-stocked. The investments are in line with our long-term policies. If they have kind of veered from the asset allocation that you want because of the recent market performance, it would be great if we can figure out other income sources to do, but that is not a one-day thing. If it's something you have always wanted to do, now would be an amazing time to find out if that can be done. Because as we found out during 2020, our jobs are not as stable or as macro economy proof as we once thought. I don't personally make too many big changes. With interest rates probably going up, I would assess if it's something that cannot wait, maybe go for it, get that loan now. If it's something that can wait quite a bit of time, then wait and see until things plateau, that kind of stuff.
So how do you define emergency funds? What do you, and different people have different goals or what their definition is, but I'm curious for the audience that are very diverse, what is your definition of how much you personally or you think is ideal?
All right. So I'm somebody who actually has had to eat through her emergency fund once. You know, when the market was booming just until last year or so, everybody thought emergency funds are for the weak. It was not fashionable. Having been there once, when my husband left an employed position and started his own practice a few years back, he didn't get paid for 6 months, obviously. Fortunately, we did not call it an emergency fund back then. It was our house down payment that we were saving up. And we came tenuously close to that getting depleted. So I am a huge advocate of having an emergency fund. In my mind, it's about 3 to 6 months of expenses, not income, that I like to keep in a non-sexy bank account. So I don't even usually do CDs and stuff. I'll just put it in a savings account. And I am, again, not very gung-ho about chasing small differences in interest rates. Because if you do the math, the difference is in tens or hundreds, not even in thousands. So I have the money in the same account that I've had forever through the ups and downs of the interest rates, and doesn't bother me anymore. So as long as you can pay your basic necessities without having to take on credit card interest, debt and stuff, we should be good.
I agree. We share a lot of philosophy. I don't chase sexy either. I believe that for a lot of us, the reason why we want to take care of money is so that we can live our lives. There's some people that may be interested and definitely do that, follow the stock market every single moment if you want to. But people have this misnomer. I did as well. I had this misconception that taking care of my finances and learning about the stock market meant that I had to sit down and care what the heck the Dow is doing. Now I don't even give a crap, right? It's like long term, right? Figure out what your short term goals are. And that's where the emergency funds come into play. And Dr. Right. Mitra's principle, what she uses, and which is similar to what I use as well, is 3 to 6 months of your expenses liquid in cash. Yes, there's some times when we dip into it, and that's the exact point of having an emergency fund. So if you had to use it, it's time to rebuild it. If you're someone that may be a single income earner, there may be room for you to maybe buff up your emergency funds even more if you don't have an additional partner that may be getting active income. So there are things that are going to be variable based on your own personal life and setup, but I do love the things that you shared. Another question for you. Talk a little bit about the investment policy.
Sure. So an investment policy statement is something you write out for yourself, and the writing part is important. That is going to be your underlying principle, your guiding principle. So you don't have to go on social media and ask strangers, hey, I have 30K sitting around. What do I do with it? You know best what to do with it. Because again, depending on the mood of the current situation, everybody will be like, go into real estate or put it in stocks and stuff like that. And that may not be your cup of tea at all. So I started my investment policy statement with the question, why? Why we're even chasing what we're chasing, what the goals behind it are. And I made it all bullet points so that there was no essay writing involved, because I think that is one of the hardest things that make writing this policy statement hard. I wrote down some things that, that lightened it up for me. Money is, or an investment is, and then I filled in the blanks with fund states. Money is a force for good. that kind of stuff. And then I came to the basic, the broad questions. When do we want to retire? What does retirement mean for us? What do we want to have any income streams during retirement? And if so, what are our goals with that? And then the numbers questions. What do we think we'll spend in retirement? Once you've reached, and that number takes some figuring out. A lot of it, a lot of the, our current expenses will not be present in retirement. So so the expenses sometimes, you know, not as much as we think or worry that it will be. Once we have that number based on the 4% rule or the 3 to 4% rule now, we come to our number, the nest egg number we need in order to retire. And from there, based on the amount you can save every year, you can back calculate as to how far you are from retirement. And you can play around with the numbers to see if you increase your savings, how soon you can get there, and all other fun stuff like that. So that is what my in IPS looks like.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I think you have some, you have an article on that, correct?
I do.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is if you can send it to me, that would be great. So we can include it here and people can have that as a way of finding you, getting some valuable information. Because I do agree, it doesn't have to be sexy. Imagine if we make the decisions on what we eat based on when we're hungry.
Right. Yeah. True.
I don't know. I shouldn't be shopping when I'm hungry.
That's right. Yes, never go shopping when you're hungry. Right. And along the same lines, the time to figure out your IPS is before you have that first big fat paycheck. So don't be afraid to tweak it. I mean, don't tweak it on a whim. Give it thought. But our goals change. You know, the even the investment strategies, again, that is going to be part of the IPS. And for the most part, I was only into the stock market and not in real estate. But lately, once we reached the milestone of being co-STFI, I was willing to take a little more risk and started in real estate. And then I had to tweak it and say, okay, I'm willing to put in this much percentage of my total invested assets into real estate. So don't be afraid to tweak it.
Don't be afraid to tweak it. Start somewhere. Build your emergency fund right now. And for her, which is in line with a lot of my principle, it's stay the course, the long-term course. Yes, you may do certain things when things are on sale. You may choose to buy a little bit more, right? You're like, hey, you know what? I was not going to buy a shirt this week, but it's 50% off. I'm going to buy an additional shirt, right? So there's flexibility, but let the main thing be the main thing. And then you can now just add on little extras like it happens. If someone comes in right now and tells them that's a great real estate deal, maybe I wasn't planning on buying real estate this year, but if it's a really a great deal, I may say, why not? So it's not about having a rigid plan. It's having a plan, period. And that's sometimes right. You edit. Sometimes you add it. Or at least you have, at the worst case scenario, your plan is happening. And best case scenario, a little extra bonuses along the way. So don't be afraid to tweak, but you need a plan. And anything else you want to add for our audience today before we say thank you and see you later?
Thank you so much for having me here. You know, I just want to reiterate again what I said earlier. Every woman physician out there is an amazing human being for everything she does on a daily basis, even without realizing or knowing or it or acknowledging herself for it. So this part is real easy. You got it.
Thank you so very much. Listen to her, guys. This part is really easy. And I promise you, I thought it was the hardest thing in the world before I started. And when I went into it, I was like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe it was this simple. And I thought it was hard. And it's not, I'm not the only person that's felt that way. She has felt that way, have felt that way. And I have lots of members in my program that are feeling that way. They're like, really? That's it? I'm like, mm-hmm, that really is it, right? But if you don't start, you don't get to that point. So if anything at all, just get started. Ask for help. There's a lot of resources. Reach out. We're all here to support you. So thank you so, so much, Mitra. You're going to be coming back because we have another thing to record at some point. But
absolutely, anytime. Thank you so
Always
much.
A pleasure seeing you and getting a chance to chat with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me here.
All right, bye-bye. Everybody, you've heard her. Do what she said. And don't forget to share this. We want every woman physician to be prepped 3 to 5 years from now. My thing is that we look back and we're like, thank God we did the stuff that we're told to do. Thank God we did not wait. Thank God we did what we're supposed to do. That's what it's about. We want you equipped. So share this with all the women physicians in your life. Share it on Facebook, on Instagram, text it to your friends. We want every human prepared. So thanks everybody for watching, and we'll see you soon.